it's time to get underway with a special edition of Radio Friendships from our location in Galveston, Texas, where we're helping to meet the needs of people with the love of Jesus Christ. Radio Friendships is brought to you by Don and Sandra Tipton of Friendships Unlimited, which is located in Lake Charles, Louisiana. As the Lord said in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together.
Welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed from Galveston, Texas. If you remember back a few days ago, we had a delightful interview with Denny Nisley. But today we have his wife, Sandy Nisley. Welcome to Radio Friendship, Sandy.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here today.
Denny and Sandy are involved, well, actually, they're very involved in Christ in Action. And there's a website for that if you want to find more information. We'll repeat this again at the end of the show if you don't have a pen available right now. But I think the name's pretty easy to remember, ChristInAction.com. Sandy, what brings you to Galveston?
Well, very simply, the Bible instructs us as believers to do to others what we would want them to do for us. And if my home had just been obliterated by a hurricane, I would want someone to come help me.
Yeah.
And I would want them to feed me a meal that looked like it was home cooked and was hot. And I would want them to come and help with cleaning the tree that fell over in my yard because I don't have a chainsaw. Yeah. I would want them to help me get the sheetrock and the dirt and the crud out of my house because it's such an overwhelming task for an individual to try to do it on their own. In FEMA, as much as they can offer, yeah, what they can offer will not totally solve anybody's problem. No. What the insurance company can offer will not totally solve anyone's problem. And we believe that the community of faith has so much more to offer. We bring hope. And that's what people need, is their hope for tomorrow.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're moving in quickly, mm-hmm, to meet the people's immediate needs, mm-hmm, but then establishing some long-term solutions.
Absolutely.
Why do you think that's so important?
Well, interestingly enough, I was just in a meeting yesterday listening to a FEMA presentation, and he was asking the people in the meeting if anyone represented a homeless shelter or a crisis pregnancy shelter or a domestic violence, child abuse, and he just kind of substance abuse. He went down the list of social issues that we face in our days. And he said, now, why should you, in your individual agencies, why should you be concerned about long-term recovery? And they were kind of looking at him like a deer in the headlights, like, I don't know. And he said, I'll tell you why, because statistics show that if there's not a serious long-term recovery in place, somebody that is aggressively meeting the needs of these folks, all of these social ills will rise exponentially. Mm-hmm. And we feel that our primary goal of being in place here is that we would reach out to the first responders and the displaced residents in those first initial days after the hurricane. And that's exactly, we have accomplished that goal. But then to remain in place as an intermediate response agency until that long-term recovery committee can be put into place and they have established themselves so that they are ready to reach out and help the community. Because once the first responders, the other agencies leave, the community starts to feel abandoned. Mm. And then they lose their hope. You know, they go bankrupt. Yeah. They just start doing all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Like they said, domestic violence, all those things begin to rise because the stress and the tension, yeah, and the difficulty of navigating through a time like this, it's not easy.
Yeah. Try and imagine that you're a little tight on this month's budget. How, mm-hmm, that creates tension in your home. Now, mm-hmm, try to imagine your home and your possessions are gone. That, mm-hmm, just magnifies the problems and the tension between each other, mm-hmm, family, with the kids, everything. Mm-hmm. The kids have lost their toys.
Mm-hmm.
These are very real people with some very real problems. They need a very real God and some very real solutions.
Absolutely. And a lot of the folks here on Galveston Island have not only lost their home, they've lost their business. Now, they don't have a home and they don't have a job to go to, even if they were business owners. And so they need supernatural intervention.
Amen.
That's why it's so important for the community of faith and the community of believers to step up. And you know what? It's not about preaching to them and hitting them over the head with the Bible. It's about showing up with a smile and, mm-hmm, a delicious hot meal. and being willing to go in there with the face mask on, you know, and remove their belongings in a sensitive fashion, you know, not like we've had a horror story of somebody that was cutting up just because our people typically are pretty upbeat and, you know, hey, we're here to help and whatever. And apparently their jovial personalities and conversation were misunderstood by the homeowner, thinking that they were making some kind of a joke about whatever those possessions were. And we're like, no, that's not it. You know, so we just try to get our guys to be sensitive, you know.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because there is some sensitivity that goes with addressing the needs of people in this area. They do, like you said, the government moves in and does a lot of quick fixes, picks up and moves out. But also the media can rush in and take pictures of their home, all their belongings on the street. There's got to be a way to reach somebody in an effective way that lets them know that they're loved. How do we do that?
Well, when you said that about the media, it reminded me that my husband responded to Virginia Tech when they had the massacre there. And the media were off the chart, unacceptably, you know, taking footage and getting into the middle of prayer circles and things. And you know, all that footage ended up on the floor of the editing room. But I just felt like, you know, if it was their son that had been killed, if it was their daughter who had just lost their best friend, they would not want a camera, or if they were the parent of that child, they would not want a camera in their face. And I just think that the media needs to apply a little common sense and some sensitivity to their way of doing things. And that's my little soapbox, and I'll step off of that now.
I'm glad you brought it up, because it gives me an opportunity to talk about something that we're doing for our listeners and people that like to keep in touch with Friendships Unlimited. We're going to be doing some broadcasts on YouTube, a little newscast of the updates of what's happening here, to be able to put some pictures in with the radio program. Well, you're going to see a little bit of the destruction, but there's another story here, a story of hope, a story of people's lives being changed for the good. And that's what we want to see. There's people making difference. They're difference makers all over the place here.
Amen.
And you know what has been beautiful, Sandy, is the ministries that are here. I don't know about the government agencies, but the ministries that are here have a spirit of cooperation.
Absolutely, absolutely. Our theory of ministry is that it's not based on a specific denominational persuasion. It's based on believing the Bible is true and believing that there is a God and it's not me. If we can come together on that common ground and serve a community, it does a number of things. One is there's so much power in unity.
Yeah.
The other thing is it speaks loud and clear to the community that, you know what, you might have been burned or had a bad experience with a Christian or a person that called themselves a Christian, but it makes us stand apart from those that have been our predecessors. My husband often says, you know, when the parents are getting along, it builds a security in the children.
Great point.
And the churches of the community are like the parents of the community.
Yeah.
So when the churches are getting along in a community, that gives a security to the community. And you hear it over and over, you know, that, again, this meeting I was in with FEMA yesterday, they said when the first response starts, it's from the voluntary agencies. That's the category that the faith-based organizations fall into. And then you go through this transition of sequence of delivery of services, okay? But you know what happens at the very bottom of the food chain? It's back to the voluntary agencies. Because when they've exhausted all of their other options, we're the only ones there for them. And so as much as there's the separation of church and state, they're using the faith-based dollars and the faith-based manpower and the faith-based ability to get the job done. And they are finally coming to terms with that, which I'm overjoyed because, no, there's been just different opinions and things throughout the ages, you know, that's like, oh, you can't do that because you're faith-based, you know. Yeah. But, you know, the faith-based initiative has been approved by the Supreme Court, and I'm just so thankful for this opportunity for the church of the living God to step up and to serve in a way that is so very vital.
Yeah, and just so you know that Sandy knows what she's talking about, she has a seat in the White House. She is a representative. Tell us what you do there.
I'm a part of the roundtable for faith-based organizations that directly relate to disaster response. It's just another one of those meetings. But you know what? The Lord works in very wonderful ways. And if showing up at these meetings can give us another opportunity to, because our whole reason for doing disaster response is just the worm on the hook.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're not the latest, greatest, whatever about all of that. You know, we don't have the best technology. It's just our reason to get in the community.
Yeah.
And then we do what we do. We serve meals. We help with homes. We do whatever we do. Uh-huh. You know what happens eventually? Someone says, why are you doing that? You know, and we are just so thrilled.
To tell them why.
Like, we're just so glad you asked, you know. Yeah. And again, even then, it's not like shoving it down their throat. It's just entering into a conversation, gently sharing with them. You know, a lot of folks, they just need to know, because they are going through a whirlwind of emotion, trying to navigate through untold amounts of information overload from FEMA and from the Red Cross and from their insurance company and what you should and what you shouldn't. And then all the scam artists coming into town trying to help them or not help them or, you know, whatever. And at that time, if you can just genuinely enter in conversation with them and say, you know what, that's normal. And they're like, really? I'm not going crazy. I'm not losing my mind, you know. And if you can just convince them, because it's true, they're just a normal person having a normal reaction to a very abnormal situation. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. You know, I haven't had special training. Oh, well, I should take that back. I haven't had standardized, like, years and years of college special training, but I have had some CISM training, which is critical incident stress management, which is very important for dealing with situations like this. And it's just a basic training on interacting with people in a common sense way. Our approach to doing what we do is just kind of basic, simple. We had a lady that came to our feeding site 2 days ago, and she said she's just now gotten a safe place for her children and for herself to be reestablished here on the island. And now she has to deal with her mother's place. It hasn't even been opened up yet. And she was kind of wringing her hands and rubbing her head, and you could tell she was just close to the edge. And we said, you know, we can help you. And she's like, you can? You know, like, she was just kind of telling us this stuff. It wasn't, I don't know, I think she was kind of venting and thinking, you know what, I just need to get this off my chest and whatever. And I said, well, we can help you. I said, we have teams and we can come in and we can, you know, do whatever you need us to do. And she's like, really? Really? I mean, she was just like almost started crying right there. And I said, would you, you know, can we give you a hot meal? And she's like, oh, I can't eat anything right now. She said, but maybe after I get this settled. And by the time we had finished talking with her, and it's not pages of paperwork, it's one piece of paper that says, you know, your address, what you need us to do, and sign off giving us permission to do it. It's not days of red tape and lines to wait in and things like that. And so through that experience, she's like, okay, you know what, I think I could eat this lunch now. And it was a delicious enchilada casserole, so I'm glad.
Well, you've said this twice now, the importance of a hot meal. Mm-hmm. Why is that so important?
Well, to us, we feel it's important because the stress level is off the chart for every individual. Well, I mean,
are people not able to get hot meals? Are their homes
typically not
wrecked?
They don't have electricity. They don't have fresh water or potable water. And for them to cook at home is just not reasonable. They may not even have a kitchen anymore because if the flood water came in high enough, it has totally contaminated whatever level of water. If it's 4 feet of water, whatever, that would take out all your appliances.
Because of the bacteria, mold?
Bacteria in the water.
Everything that was floating around, we had septic tanks come up, storage tanks for fuels and chemicals.
Yep. And lots of things you wouldn't want to mention. So it's just contaminated and not healthy.
So a hot meal is a big deal.
Exactly. And for a while, we were the only ones serving hot meals in town. There were other relief agencies, but it's easier to do a cold meal, just a sandwich or, you know, they have the little MRE things that are so popular.
Yeah. You know what? Those get old after a while, too.
Do.
We have people coming to this site. Mm-hmm. They're at a different area.
Sure.
And they want to change from the MREs.
Right, you know? Right. And something you can recognize on the plate, you know, not like a mystery meal, you know. Yeah. So, you know, and those other things are less money to provide. And for us, it's like, you know, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it as unto the Lord.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it with excellence. And God sent us an amazing chef. I mean, we've had cooks, but we have just crossed over to chef land, and we don't ever want to look back.
You know, that's something that people overlook, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe they really enjoy cooking. Mm-hmm. Well, they don't feel like they've been through a seminary or anything, mm-hmm. and how can they minister the gospel to people? Mm-hmm. It could be something as simple as cooking. Mm-hmm. You find great joy in it. Maybe God's placed that desire and that joy in your heart for a reason. So are you looking for people to help that may feel like they're unqualified?
Absolutely.
What can they do for you?
All they need to have is a willing heart and be 18. We do 18 and over. And just be willing to work hard for long hours in less than desirable conditions.
Okay.
And wear long pants and protective footwear.
Okay.
And that's just for their own protection.
Now, if somebody was considering coming, mm-hmm. what do they need? Are you providing the meals and the equipment, the dust masks
right.
or whatever?
Right. We provide everything. What they need to do is come prepared to sleep with their sleeping bag, and if they want an air mattress, pillow, whatever. And we will provide church floor, and it's air-conditioned space, and we have okay. nice, modern, flush toilets and hot showers.
Okay, wonderful.
And we have internet access, and we have a laundry facility. You know, we're pretty self-contained, but they have to get here. We don't provide any type of transportation costs. Once they get here, their needs should pretty much be met unless they want to run out and grab something.
Now, does it matter if it's a church team or an individual? Or are you looking for?
Either and all, both, all are welcome. They can register to volunteer on our website, which is christinaction.com. And once they register, there's a little volunteer release form because the nature of what we do is hazardous. So we just have them download that form, or they can sign one when they get here.
So you're saying they can go to your website
mm-hmm.
at christinaction.com and download the application right there, and then they mail it in?
The application's online. It gets submitted electronically.
Beautiful.
The only thing they have to download is the release form. But if
okay.
they can't do that, we have them on site. So they can just sign off.
Easy. Yeah.
Just sign off on site, and they're good to go.
One other thing. Mm-hmm. What about families? I know you said they had to be over 18.
Mm-hmm.
Say there was a family that wanted to bring their children along. Is that okay?
Typically not. And I'll tell you why. Denny and I have, my husband, we have a personal regret. Some of our younger children years ago helped with 9/11, and then they helped with Katrina, and both of them have respiratory complications because of that. And so, you know, it's just, why would you want to trade a week of service for a lifetime of respiratory issues? It's just... That's kind of our thing, that we have that personal regret.
This is something that children are more susceptible
yes,
to?
Yes, because their lungs aren't fully developed until they're, you know, older. So that's why we kind of just do the 18 and over crowd. And
But as far as somebody coming down here right now, they're mm-hmm. not at risk.
No. Okay. Not in that regard. But like, because to go into a home or whatever, when we send the teams out, we would not send a child into that environment.
Gotcha.
And oftentimes the children aren't, you know, strong enough because we're dealing with big pots and pans. So even if they would stay at the base camp, helping with the cooking stuff wouldn't be practical for them because it's just too much heavy lifting and things that children just aren't really built to do.
Sandy, I'm suspecting that you have an idea how a family that wouldn't be able to get away, how they could still help. How could they do that?
They can pray.
Why is that so important? Everybody says that, but I don't think we fully get that. I mean, we hear that so often, pray, and we say, okay, we'll pray, but we don't do it in the way that you're speaking of. What do you mean by that? Why is that so important?
Well, because there's a lot of people out here doing what we're doing. But the difference between us and them, so to speak, is that we have God on our side, and we are endeavoring to represent Him in the best way possible. And it takes strength, and it takes courage, because there's a lot of politics around this type of thing. And it takes wisdom. You not only need to know when to go, but eventually we'll need to know when it's time to leave. And someone that's not here can pray more fervently than someone that's here and can see what's going on and be like, you know, you can't see the forest because of the trees. It's their ability to seek God on our behalf and in an undistracted, you know, unfettered fashion is so vital, because the prayers of the saints, that's the oil in our engine. You know, we're just keeping on going on God's strength and working long hours, and like I said, long hours, hot weather, you know.
That makes sense. That really makes sense, because like you said, there's a lot of traffic in the mind right now with all the things going on and trying to arrange schedules and do things, make sure everything's done, and also the heat and conditions. There may be things that we may forget or may not be quite in the area to pray for that we do need someone to pray for. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And another thing, another dynamic that I've seen here that I haven't seen in the past, is that because of the nature of the storm, the folks that have faith-based organizations here on the island are devastated in a whole nother way, because here they are. What have they given their life to? Helping this community. Now they can't. They're absolutely unable to do so. And it's just complicated their frustration level, because their house is probably a shambles. Their ministry office, there's no phone, there's no computer, whatever has gone underwater. So they're down. So now that their community needs them more than ever, they can't reach out. So I would especially ask folks to pray for that group of people, beyond those of us that are serving this community, the ones that live here and are just feeling the brunt of this in a way that I've never seen before. In the meetings that I've been in where they have representatives, there's just such a frustration and a longing to help, and yet the inability to do so.
Well, listen, your insights have been incredible, and I think that is due to the fact that you wear many hats. Not only are you the wife of Denny, but you are also a mother of 11 children.
Yes, sir.
And you do homeschooling. You're also the administrative director of Christ in Action.
Correct.
And that gives you a perspective of a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like those areas overlap in any place?
Well, I've said to people already, you know, who would have thought that being the mother of 11 would help you to manage national disasters, you know? But honestly, I think there's a component there that all the mothers listening will understand, and that's that, you know, with children, especially multiple children, it doesn't have to be 11, it could be 2. Mm-hmm. There's always something happening. And then you've got this husband component over here on the side. Yeah. And so to continually be aware of those needs and the little things that pop up and to be able to address them in a timely fashion is so important. And so, and just being sensitive and being able to kind of triage and prioritize what those items are and what needs the most attention. It's not always the squeaky wheel. You know, we hear that terminology, but the urgent is not always the important. And just trusting God to give us the discernment between those two.
Now, maybe there's somebody listening right now that their husband has a lot of desire to do ministry or disaster relief, and they're home with the children. And you know, some jealousies or some issues come up with that. How can she best support her husband in fulfilling that ministry or setting out on that ministry?
Well, I call it Cinderella syndrome, because Prince Charming has gone off to the ball without her, basically. Okay. Or at least that's the perception of it, you know, and she's home with the dishes and the dusting and the diapers, and she's not getting a lot of attaboys. You know, he's out there and they're going, man, thanks for coming, you're great, you're the best, you're whatever, you know. Because I went through that season in my life, because I was like, you know what, this is not right. Denny and I met on the mission field, and then we got married, and then I had a baby, and my life changed forever. And I'm like, this is just wrong. I want to be back out there, you know. So finally, I convinced him, and I said, honey, if you were a banker, I wouldn't expect you to take care of the kids all day while you were at work. So if I could figure out a way to go with you when you go to do this missions work, and you didn't have, you know, if we could just sit and have dinner with you or see you in passing so that the children would know they had, because our babies were just little at that time, could we negotiate this, you know? And so I think with some hesitation, he granted my request, thinking, oh, I'm going to fail miserably. And this will, if he just placates me this one time, you know, that this will be off the list, and I'll be home in a closet and just, you know, doing dishes and dusting and diapers, you know? And God just helped me to get it right the first time. And we've had plenty of bumps in the road, more opportunity to build a better mousetrap, so to speak. But for wives that are out there, you know, the Bible says that you need to respect your husband because it's like air to them. And there's got to be, you know, I know that there's some scumbag dads out there and there's some less than desirable husbands. But if you said, when the preacher said, you know, do you want to marry this guy? And you said, I do, then let's move forward. And it doesn't matter what's happened beyond that point. Let's honor him. Let's respect him. Let's give him the respect for being the head of the home. And you would be amazed. Sadly, we get into the mindset of, you know what, if I don't mention when my husband does something negative or it's something that displeases me, then he's going to continue that behavior. The problem is that when they do something good, we never mention that. And we don't affirm them for the good. We're just always nagging about the bad. So that negativity just creates a downward spiral because they don't respond in a positive way to that negative non-affirmation. You know, it's like our minds get so confused with that whole thing.
Yeah.
We need to turn it around and be like, you know what, if we can find just, you know what, pray God will reveal to you one good thing.
Yeah.
And if that's all you can come up with for now, then do it. Just sing that song. Sing every chorus. Sing every verse. Sing every, you know, sing it again. Sing it again. And watch what happens. Things will turn around. And God will make a way. And before you know it, you will be launching him out the door in a happy way, you know, because he will respond to that respect and that admiration and that affirmation. Because women need to be loved. And he will love that.
Exactly.
And, you know, Denny and I say, if I treat my husband like a king, guess who lives with the king?
Mm-hmm.
The queen.
Amen. Okay, do you have a scripture of the day? We're out of time, but we would like to leave listeners with a scripture of the day. Do you have one that's meant something to you?
Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, the foolish one tears it down with her own hands. Don't do it.
What was that verse again?
Proverbs 14:1.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a wonderful time with you here, and I hope the listeners have really learned something here today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, we'd like to invite you back to Radio Friendships next time, where we love to bring you interviews of people that are impacting your world for the love of Jesus Christ. Have a great day, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.